firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to
a roadmap for the wilderness of this world? That's what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, calls the Book of Numbers. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And today, the Bible Bus will embark on our journey through this marvelous Old Testament book of Numbers. Now, at first glance, many people think Numbers is a little boring. But as we'll see, it has a very important and contemporary message for you and me. In just a few minutes, you'll hear Dr. McGee refer to his notes and outlines that contain a couple charts that will be helpful to today's study. So, if you haven't yet gotten your free copy of the notes and outlines, you can download them immediately at ttb.org/notes. Or if you'd prefer to receive them by mail, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask to be put on our automatic subscription list. Again, that's 1-800-652-4253. Now, we've got just a few minutes before our study begins, so while you grab your seat on the Bible Bus and get comfortable, let's enjoy a few letters that we've recently received from our listening family around the world. First is good news from a listener of our Swahili broadcast. Jesus is Lord. I got saved after listening to your program. I was in darkness. One day when I tuned my radio, I came across your program. After listening keenly, I got convicted of my sins and I gave my life to Jesus. God led me to a Christ-preaching church. Isn't that amazing? You know, I love hearing how God is using His Word to change hearts all over the world. Now, here's another meaningful letter from a listener of our Serbian broadcast. I listen to your programs on a solar radio given to me by a friend. I am blind, and I am grateful for such good teaching to listen to. There is so much about the Bible I've never known. Because of my handicap, many people have left me, including my family. Your programs bring light to my dark life. And last is a letter from a Vietnamese listener. She writes, I've gained more strength and hope from the Almighty God through your programs. Recently I was very ill. I had difficulty breathing and could not sleep at all. What I could do is cry to God and completely trust in His compassion. In the most painful moments, I still remember His word from your program. It has brought me much encouragement and lifted me up. I thank God for His love that is always there for me, although I do not deserve it. Well, if you'd like to join us in praising God for His work in the lives of listeners like these, as well as intercede for those who don't yet know Him, then join our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. And if God is doing something in your life through our time together in His Word, we'd love to hear your story too. Did our story in the book of Luke give you a better picture of Jesus' humanity on earth? Did the story of Zacchaeus help you understand how willing God is to meet us right where we are? Call or write and tell us which study was particularly meaningful to you. Just leave a message on our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE or send an email to BibleBus@ttb.org or write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325. London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. As we study today, please make the truth that we hear understandable and meaningful in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now it's our desire today to put down a foundation for the book of Numbers, first of all. This book can be, I think, called the book of arithmetic of the Old Testament, or of the Bible for that matter. It's called Arithmoi in the Septuagint, and that means arithmetic. We get our book Numbers from that. The theme of this book, however, I call it Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan thought of the name before I did, however, and I've plagiarized his name for the book of Numbers. Here you have the walking, the wandering, the working, the warring, the witnessing, and the worshiping of the pilgrim, God's pilgrim in this world. It's a handbook for pilgrims. Chart and compass come from thee. And here it is. This book is helpful for us today. It's a roadmap for the wilderness of this world And the lessons the children of Israel had to learn are lessons that you and I will have to learn. And that's the way God intended for it to be for you and me. The thing that the New Testament says, for whatsoever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's Romans 15:4. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And then in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then in 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And then finally in John 17, beginning at verse 14, and this is our Lord's great high priestly prayer, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. Now we come here to this book of Numbers, which is the fourth book of the Pentateuch, the fourth book that Moses wrote. We saw last time Leviticus, and actually we haven't come anywhere since Leviticus because they are still camped at Mount Sinai. And we find in the first book of the Old Testament of the Pentateuch in Genesis, we have the creation and the fall in the beginning, and the children of Israel were then in the loins of Abraham. And then we come to the book of Exodus, and it's the great book of redemption, and they went down into Egypt, but Exodus is the way out of Egypt. In the brick kilns of Egypt is where we find them, and God delivers them out of that. And in the book of Leviticus, we have the book of worship and fellowship, and God spoke to them out of the tabernacle, Vayikrah, and he called unto them. But now we come to this book, and it's a book of Pilgrim's Progress. And it gets its name of Numbers from the census that we have here in chapter 1, and then another census over in chapter 26. And we might as well at this point make a comparison of the two, and it reveals the tragedy of these people in the wilderness. In chapter 1, here, verse 46, we read that there were 603,550, and these were of the fighting men, that is, those in the army. And in the 26th chapter, verse 51, there were 601,730. In other words, there were 1,820 less. Now, God had said to them, be fruitful and multiply. But they are losing instead of gaining in that wilderness. Their walking had been turned to wandering, and they didn't advance an inch. We find that when you come to the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers, where are they? Well, they are at Kadesh, Barnea. Well, that's where they refused to go in the land, and after 40 years in the wilderness, they're back there at Kadesh, Barnea. They just haven't been anywhere. It's like riding a merry-go-round. You get off where you got on. 150 to 200 miles from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days' journey. That's about what it was. And they spent 30 days at Kibroth. In other words, they spent 40 years on a journey which should have taken them 40 days. And what was it that slowed them down? Well, the thing that slowed them down was unbelief. It's revealed that they could not enter in because of unbelief, and we'll see that as we go along. Now, we probably should attempt to ascertain the number that had come out of Egypt now. We are in a book that deals with numbers. We are told here that in round figures, there were 600,000 fighting men. And I'm giving you now the estimate of Dr. Melvin Grove Kyle. I was in his class. He was a great Egyptologist. and editor of the ISBE, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and at one time editor of the National Geographic, a man that was a great archaeologist and a great man, but he was as dull and dead as any man possibly could be in his lectures, but he sure could give you a wealth of information if you'd listen to him. And that always made it intensely interesting to me. Now we have here 600,000 fighting men, and Dr. Kyle said that approximately 400,000 women. Then there were 200,000 older men, senior citizens, and there would be approximately 800,000 children. And then there was a mixed multitude that followed. They were about 100,000, and that gives you an estimate of 2,100,000. And that does not include the tribe of Levi, and these are the ones who came out of the land of Egypt. I personally think it would probably be nearer 3 million than 2 million, but no one can argue about it because we do not have exact figures. The best figures that we have are here. Now, that tells us something about this book, and there are other things that we'd like to say concerning it, but we'll pick up those great truths as we go along. Now we have here, and I probably should take a moment to say a word concerning this. I do hope that you have our notes and outlines for the book of Numbers. I have in it two charts that are invaluable in the study. One chart is of the tabernacle and the way the children of Israel camped around the tabernacle. Now, if you think for one moment that they were a mob just going through the wilderness, helter-skelter, harum-scarum, you're wrong, because no group ever marched as orderly as they did. And we'll see that in this first 10 chapters here. In fact, from chapter 1 through chapter 10, verse 10, you have the order of the camp. And I'm sure you'll be impressed by the way that God insisted upon the order of this camp. And you'll recall that Paul said to the believers in Corinth, let everything be done decently and in order. Everything that God does, he wants done in order. He wants that done, and that's the way he does things. Have you ever looked at a rose, looked down deep into it, pulled its petals aside, and taken a look? My, I tell you, he sure put that together nicely, didn't he? Ever notice a tree? He does a very good job in making a tree, and any piece of fruit that you want to pick up. In fact, this universe that we're in is very orderly. There'd be a lot of things bumping together if it wasn't orderly. However, there's plenty of space to maneuver, and the Lord has it so arranged that it maneuvers without bumping into each other. You and I are in a remarkable universe that reveals that we have a God of power, and he's a God of order, and he is a person. And that is something that's quite wonderful. In fact, nobody but a fool could be an atheist. That's what the scripture says. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. And a friend of mine back east years ago, he's gone to be with the Lord now, very successful in dealing with atheists. He overheard a man one time say he didn't believe in God. And so he said to that man, he said, sir, I'd just like to ask you a question or two. You made a statement that you did not believe in God. Now he said, I want to ask you, were you sincere in making that statement? Because he said, I have to infer that when a man says there is no God, either he is being insincere, or else he's a fool. He's insane. Now, which he said, is it? The man looked at him in amazement. He said, well, I'm no fool. Then he says, you must have been insincere in making a statement like that. You really didn't mean it. And this universe is telling it out too strong. The order of the universe, the power of this tremendous universe, reveals that there is back of it not only a person, but he's a genius, by the way, and he's God. Now, will you notice, we have here in the first chapter the first census, and it's of those that are able to go to war. And by the way, the second chart that I have is the way they marched on the wilderness march, and I have that also in a chart, And I hope you have that before you, because I'll be referring to that from time to time. Now that brings us, therefore, here to this first chapter. And we have here, and if you'll notice this, the census is being taken. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Now we are told here that he spoke to them in the wilderness, but also it was in the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was in the wilderness. Now the church today is in the world. We are told that. I read a scripture to you that tells us that story. The Lord Jesus said, I pray not that ye take them out of the world, but that ye keep them in the world. We are in the world. But also, he speaks here in the tabernacle. Now, will you notice what he says here concerning the church in Ephesians 2:19? Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, the church today is building of God in the world. We are his workmanship, his poema, his poem. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're in the world. Now, not only that, we are told here, take ye the sum of all the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Now the children of Israel are to be numbered, and they're to be numbered, a census made, for the purpose of building up an army, and an army is for warfare. You see, as slaves in the land of Egypt, God fought for them. They were not asked to fight. Now they are out in the wilderness, and they are to fight their enemies. And they have enemies, and may I say that you and I, as believers in the world, we have enemies also. And these enemies are quite real, by the way. And again, if I may refer back to the epistle to the Ephesians, we're told there something about the warfare that the believers engaged in today in this world. Over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, listen to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now he saved us by his infinite, marvelous, wonderful grace. But you and I are in a world today, and it's a wicked world, and it's a rough world. And like the children of Israel out in the wilderness, this world is a wilderness as far as God is concerned, and sin is in the world, and God saves us by his marvelous grace. But then we're told that we have a fight, and we have an enemy. And Paul said to a young preacher in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he said again, fight the good fight of faith. Now, for the first time, these people will hear of wars, and we will. In this book, we'll hear of wars, and there'll be trumpets and battles and giants, all of that. You and I live in a world today where there's that going on. Be honest with you, I get rather amused at this little crowd of folk that today, there's supposed many of them to be college students, and they're so limited in their vision, so limited in their scope and breadth of their knowledge. What do they teach them today in college, I wonder? Certainly not the same thing they taught us in college. We were told something about this big bad world that we live in. Why, they think all you got to do is just say peace, and you can just have peace. They talk about making love, not war. My friend, the interesting thing is, the biggest strife that's going on today is taking place not among young people that are in the service today wearing a uniform. It's taking place among this bearded crowd. They are the ones that are causing a great deal of the dissension and the trouble today. And yet they're talking about peace. They know nothing about peace at all. And they do not recognize that which is fundamental. They live in a pretty big, bad world. And there's some bad folks around us. And we need to recognize we're going to fight whether we like it or not. And that's the terrible thing about it. Now, I want to read verse 4. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, everyone head of the house of his father. Now, the reading of this book, and certainly the way it starts off here at this census, well, it's not as thrilling as a mystery story, let's say. You can enjoy one of Hitchcock's plays on television more, maybe, than this. But you have here 54 verses of unnecessary details, and they may be quite boring. But you know, it was important to God, and if we'll just recognize some great truths that are here, it ought to be thrilling for us. First of all, God's interested in individuals. Mass movements, I think, have their place, and certainly not rugged individualism. But you know, God's interested in redeemed individuals. God's interested in every individual. And Moses and Aaron was to take a census, and they were to have one assistant from each tribe. And you'll find out names of these men that were assistants that are given here. And if you think I'm going down through that list of names, you're wrong. To begin with, they're not easy to pronounce. But it reveals that every name there was important to God. And I just lift out one verse for you. And all these names mean something. And if you get to the Hebrew meaning of the names, you'll have a wonderful message. Now I'm reading verse 5. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben, Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. Now, isn't that interesting, or isn't that thrilling to you, friends? Well, Reuben, he was the eldest son, and he was set aside. Back in Genesis 49:3-4, we were told he's unstable as water, and that was true of him. But he's going to pick out a man that's a little different to help. And the man that's picked out is Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. Eliezer is, my God is a rock. And Shedeur, the Almighty is a fire. And I like that. This man, Eliezer, and my God is a rock. He may belong to a tribe that's unstable as water, but this fellow knew if you got up on a rock, why, it's like the little Scotch lady said, I may tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me. And he found out that there is a rock, and they had sung that song of Moses that God was their rock. And he makes a shadow in a weary land. He also is a foundation for us to rest on. And you may be an unstable person, but friends, it'd be just wonderful indeed to have one like that here. Now, the question is sometimes raised, and I don't have time to get into that today. All the pedigrees are given here. In verse 18, we're told, they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward by their polls. Now, why the pedigrees? There's a threefold purpose in that. There was an immediate and direct value. I'm going to have to save that till next time. But may I say to you, friends, in this chapter, very frankly, 54 verses, they're just about as boring as you could find to read. But there's a marvelous message in these verses for you and me. And we're going to lift that out next time. Until then, may God richly bless you.
Great study, wasn't it? Now, the two charts that Dr. McGee mentioned today are also included in his commentary on the Book of Numbers, available as an individual paperback book or as part of the 5-volume hardback set of the whole Bible. To find these resources and so many others that will help you study God's Word on your own, visit our bookstore at ttb.org/shop or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll be glad to help you find what you need. And when you call us, be sure to tell us how you hear through the Bible, the name of your radio station, one of our handy apps, online. You know, you've got so many different options, and we'd love to know which one works best for you. Speaking of options, if you'd like to invite someone to join us for our study in Numbers, direct them to ttb.org/listen, and they can choose what works best for them. Again, that's ttb.org/listen. And be sure to join us again tomorrow as the Bible Bus once again makes a stop in your corner of the world. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us here at Through the Bible, we're praying that God blesses and keeps you until we meet again.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.